Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and actually verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Amen. Worthy of the vocation, that you walk worthy of the vocation. Amen. And the way we do that is we become a prisoner of Jesus Christ. A prisoner of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We thank you for truth. We ask you tonight, Lord, to open the windows of heaven. Bless your people. Bless the church. Lay your hand upon us in the remainder of this time together. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanks together. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. God bless you. You can be seated tonight if you will help me preach. Amen. I want to deliver what I feel in my heart here tonight. And when we look at the book of Ephesians, the author of this book, the great Apostle Paul, I believe was a tremendous, a great Christian man, and an example of what it means to live for God. The Apostle Paul had an understanding of relationship, and that relationship would, of course, be with the Lord our God, and it developed into something that each and every one of us can use and glean something from and pattern our walk with God with. Amen. And one of the things that this great apostle expressed in the writing of these scriptures was his relationship with the Lord, and not just our relationship with God, but how we should walk with him. Amen. That we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And it's very important because there are two different ways that we can serve the Lord. There are two different kinds of servants that we can be. And one is the servant that serves by constraint or duress, and the other serves out of love. Amen. In other words, there is one that serves because he feels like he has to, and the other serves out of a genuine love in his heart. Amen. And I don't need to tell you tonight which one is going to work and which one is not going to work. But we find in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 tonight, if you'll turn with me there, Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants, everybody said servants, that's somebody who serves, we want to serve the Lord, that you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And so we can look at this verse of Scripture, and we can look at it in the context that it was written. And if we go back up a few verses of Scripture, we can see that Paul is talking about our initial coming to God. And, excuse me, he said that we are crucified with him, amen, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's repentance. And that we are buried with him, and that, of course, would be water baptism. And then we rise with him in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is how we start our walk with God and our service to God. And after this, after we give our life to God, and we begin to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, amen. It's very important that we understand the right way to live and the right way to walk with God. Amen. It's not a haphazard thing, but it is a walk with God in a very specific way. I don't feel like I have to be here tonight. I'm thankful that I'm here tonight. Praise God. I don't have to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord, not because I'm going to go to hell if I don't, but I want you to know tonight I'm serving Him because I love Him. Do you love Him tonight? I love Him with all of my heart. Praise God. And if we look at each of these servants, these two servants, one of them does it because he has to, and the other does it because he wants to. One is a slave, which has to do what he's told to do. Well, praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord. God help us here tonight. I'm going to just keep right on going. And one has got to do it or he will be in trouble, and the other does it because he has built a true relationship with his master. And so let's look at another scripture here tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. Here's one kind of servant here, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Praise God. And so Paul here is writing to Timothy, and he said there are some people that are captivated by the devil. Amen. And they are taken captive at his will, at the devil's will, and they have been ensnared by the devil. This is what Paul was writing about when he said, whether of sin unto death. Amen. Because whom we serve is our master. Amen. Everybody's going to serve one master or another. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. You will hate one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. You cannot serve God and serve yourself at the same time. Well, praise God. Cannot serve the Lord and serve the world at the same time. There comes a time in each and every one of our lives where we get down to the basics of why we're here and why we've given our lives to God, why we do what we do for the Lord. Come on, somebody, there comes a time. Amen. There comes a time when we make a decision who I'm going to serve and what I will do with my life. Praise God. And the devil comes and he tries to captivate people so that they will do his will. Amen. And this kind of a servant serves with rigor. This kind of servant serves with sadness, and the end of that service is death. And if we look at Israel, we'll see a great example of this. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 14. Turn with me tonight. Praise God. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 14. This is speaking about Israel and Egypt, the relationship that they had with each other. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 14. And they, that would be the Egyptians made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Praise God. The word rigor here means to break apart or to fracture. It means cruelty. And so when the children of Israel served the Egyptians treated them cruelly. Amen. The devil will tell you that there is a lot of fun out there in the world, but it will turn around on you and the day will come, amen, when it will be very, very cruel. Praise God. When you serve sin, it will be the result of it. It never produces good fruit. It always produces bad fruit. Amen. It will break apart your life. It will break apart your family. It will break apart anything that we try to put together for God. Amen. Is when we decide that our master is sin. Amen. I don't know about you, but I found out the hard way that sin does not satisfy. Amen. That sin is not where it's at, but living for God is where it's at. Well, praise God. And the young man and the young woman that is raised in the church, amen, will be a wise young man or wise young lady that will listen to their elders, amen, and not go out and try it out in the world, but leave yourself pure before God and pure in your walk with God. Somebody ought to say amen. Praise the Lord. And Israel got involved with Egypt, and I know the Lord brought them down there, and I know that it was prophesied that they would be slaves for 400 years, and it came to pass as the prophecy came. Amen. But there was something that the Egyptians did to bring this about, and it really gives us some insight into the work of the enemy of our soul. Praise God. The Bible says that they said in their back room where nobody else could hear, the Israelites are more and mightier than we are. And they really didn't even know God that well. But he said, they are more and mightier than us. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. Amen. And that is where the devil works right there. He's slimy. He's sneaky. He is very cruel, but he doesn't come in the beginning with cruelty. What he comes with is a promise of blessing. If you'll eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll be like God. Amen. Everything will be great if you do this. It'll feel good. It'll taste good and all of that. But the Word of God says, in the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Amen. Because anything out of service to God will bring death. Somebody said amen. And it started out with a little law. It started out with a little sin, if you please. And before you know it, one leads to another. One law of sin leads to another law of sin. And before you know it, it doesn't matter how many times God has stirred your heart. Amen. You can leave the church. You can leave God and go out to sinful pleasures that are just temporary and will never satisfy. I've seen it many, many times. Amen. It's like the dictators of our world. Amen. They rule with cruelty. Amen. They rule and they are constantly checking on their servants out of fear that they will be overthrown by those servants. Amen. This kind of relationship of sin will offer instant gratification. It will offer an instant result of pleasure. But that's not where it ends, my friend. It's not all about having pleasure in life. It's about looking forward and saying, where am I headed and what am I doing with my life? Praise God, because the one you serve, he is going to be your master. And believe me tonight, sin can become your master. The world can become your master. Amen. Your cell phone can become your master. Well, praise God. I know people that have a television that is their master tonight. Amen. Rock and roll music has become their master. And money has become their master. Oh, material possessions has become their master. But I'm telling you what tonight, they will never lead you to salvation. They will never lead you to the pearly gates. Amen. They are not the gate to heaven, but they are the gate to an eternity without God. But there is a gate to heaven. Amen. And that gate to heaven is the church. It is the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm beginning to feel the Lord here tonight. Amen. It brings a relationship that offers pleasure, but nothing that brings joy. Amen. And we could look at all the vices of this world, and we could examine the nature of them and what it is that they are trying to promote and what they are trying to do. Amen. We have an Apple phone, and it's got a picture of an apple with a bite out of it. Very much like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Some say it was an apple, but nobody knows for sure. Amen. But here in your hand, right now, here in your hand, Eve, there is a piece of fruit, and all you have to do is eat of it, and you will get knowledge that you've never had before. You can go to places and see things that you've never seen before, that you'll never see with God, that you'll never experience with God. But I'm telling you tonight, God's not trying to withhold a good experience from you. Amen. What He is trying to do is open the door of blessing, real, true, long-term blessings. Amen. And by that, we can have those if we have Him as our master. Amen. And we can look at sin and the results of sin. And I think it's amazing tonight when we look at Israel. And they served the Lord at a particular point in time when they had their Moseses there. They served God. When they had their Joshuas, they served God. And Moses brought them out with a mighty hand. The waters were parted, and God gave them manna every day. But isn't it amazing that somewhere in somebody's heart, they said, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back, and I want to eat onions and leeks and melons. I'm not really interested in a land that flows with milk and honey. I want what I want right now. Oh, God, help us tonight to understand the true relationship with God and with others. Amen. It cannot be because we have to, but it has to be because we desire it and we've fallen in love with it. Amen. Buy the truth and sell it not. Can I add a little bit to this tonight? Love the truth and never stop loving the truth. Amen. Love Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Praise God. Well, praise God. Love, fall in love with Acts 2:38. Amen. Fall in love with holiness scriptures. Fall in love with the promises of God that are in the Word of God. And I'm telling you what, you'll make it all the way to heaven. Praise God, and you'll do it with joy and gladness. That doesn't mean you're not going to have problems and struggles, but it does mean that you can make it all the way. Praise God. If I've got to go through a desert, I'm going to go through a desert. If I've got to go without water every now and then, I'll go without water every now and then. Amen. If I run out of food, well, I'm just going to have to run out of food. But I'd rather die in the wilderness out of starvation than to go back to Egypt. Amen. To go back to the hard bondage. Amen. The Bible says that they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. Hard bondage. Praise God. I'm really working on it, folks. I really am. Amen. With hard bondage in mortar and in brick. How would you like to make bricks? How would you like to be a brick maker for your career? Amen. How would you like to be like Samson and just go around in circles and grind the grain for somebody else? Oh, Israel had it all backwards. Amen. They didn't really think about this hard rigor that they had gotten themselves into. They were just looking for the thrill of the moment. Amen. And what I can get right now. But what you get right now is not necessarily going to bless you. What we've got to do, well, praise God. What we've got to do is get planted by the rivers of living water and get our roots down deep and begin to produce fruit in our lives. Did you know that God wants every one of us to produce fruit in our lives? God has made you a tailor-made soul winner. Praise God. Well, don't get quiet on me tonight, folks. God has called us to be a light to our world. Amen. And to share this wonderful truth with as many as we can. Praise God. They eventually looked back and looked at serving God as bondage. Now think about that. They left the house of bondage, and after a while, they began to look at serving the Lord as bondage, and they desired to go back to Egypt. It's just amazing how the mind can formulate things and get things in its heart. Amen. And we can do things that are so crazy. I'm so glad I'm serving the Lord. Amen. If I wasn't serving God, I would not probably be in this world anymore. But I'm thankful that God has saved me so many times and began to bless me so many times. Amen. I'm thankful for that tonight. Are you thankful for that tonight? In other words, what I'm trying to say is I'm not serving God because I have to. I want to serve the Lord with gladness, amen, gladness in my heart because I've got a great treasure that God has given to me, amen. And this other kind of servant, the second kind of servant I want to talk about is the one that serves out of love, amen. It's the kind of service that's got one thing in its mind. I want to please the master. Amen. And it doesn't matter if it's difficult. I'm not doing it for a show. I'm not doing it to get recognition. I'm doing it for one reason. I want to please the master. Amen. The one that I am serving. I want to do the will of God, of the one that owns me. Paul said, I am a prisoner of the Lord. Amen. Prisoners do not belong to their self, but they belong to the master of the prison. Praise God. And this is a prison, amen, where the door is open constantly. And you can leave this prison and go out to freedom anytime you want to. Or you can walk back into the prison and say, Master, tell me what I need to do today. Praise God. It is not a prison where the door is locked behind you and you go without food or drink for days on end. It is not the kind of prison where you're whipped on the back if you don't do what you're told. It is not the kind, it's not that kind of a prison tonight. Amen. But it is a prison where the door is constantly open and where we willingly give ourselves to God. Amen. Where we willingly say, Lord, you have every part of my life. I give it to you freely. I'm offering it to you freely. And if you want it, you can have every aspect of my life. Amen. That's the kind of servant that we talk about tonight as being a servant of love. Amen. And it's awesome because this kind of relationship always produces great results. Amen. Always produces great results. If you're going to have a relationship, it must be a relationship of love and trust. Amen. And there is one element here that I want to talk about for a moment in this kind of love relationship is the trustworthiness of the master. Amen. The trustworthiness of the master. And if you're not trusted, you can't lead. Amen. And the Lord is fully trustworthy tonight. Fully trustworthy. You can trust Jesus with your life, young person. That's right. You can trust him with your life and your future because he's not looking for workers who spend themselves and give themselves but never get any paycheck. No, there's a paycheck coming. Praise God. The paycheck of sin is death, but the paycheck of righteousness is eternal life with Him. Praise God. He does not expect us to work without a paycheck. He does not expect us to work and just expect for there to be death at the end of the journey, heartache and trouble and problems. Oh, no, He's interested in true relationship of trust and service from the heart. Amen. If we can trust Him, how many can really trust Him tonight? And you may not be able to answer that fully because you haven't been living for God long enough. But when you live for God for a long time, you can honestly say, do I trust Him or do I not trust Him? And I can truly say tonight that I trust Him with every aspect of my life. Amen. He is trustworthy tonight. He has never failed me, and He has never failed anybody that I know of that has given their life to Him. Praise God. You can trust God with your future. You can trust God with your family. You can trust God in every aspect of your life if you will give your life to Him and say, Lord, I want to be a servant of love. Praise God. I choose to walk through the door of the prison and say, tell me what to do. I'm willing to do it. Praise God. I've taught many Bible studies over the years, and I've seen the point of revelation many times. I have seen the moment of revelation. And there are those that I have taught that said, I see it. Where's the water? Baptize me. Praise God. And I've seen it. One Bible study that comes to my mind tonight, I was teaching a young couple. And they came to the Lord. They gave their lives to God. God filled them with the Holy Ghost. And she began to talk to her dad and their family. And so we started another Bible study. Praise God. And I forget his name now. It's been quite a few years ago. And we were talking about the gospel. We were talking about baptism. We were talking about the Holy Ghost. Basically, we were talking about baptism, and as I began to teach, there was a spirit of revelation that came into that living room, and all of a sudden, the look on his face changed, and it was like a blank stare, and you could tell there were many thoughts that were going through his mind. Well, if this is true, then this and this and that and the other, uncle or aunt or mother or cousin or grandma or grandpa wasn't saved. I don't know exactly what went through his mind, but there was a spirit of revelation that came into that room. And when it came into that room and he saw it, that was literally the end of the Bible study. We never had another lesson. He never came back. His wife never came back. And he never darkened the door of the church again. You say, well, did you get discouraged? Well, I always get discouraged when people turn their back on the truth of the Word of God. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm not doing it for any personal gain. Amen. I never have, and I don't ever plan to. Amen. I'm doing it because I want to see somebody go to heaven beside myself. And even more than that, I'm doing it because it pleases the Master. Amen. When I got the Holy Ghost, I got a big old bag with it. And that bag was filled with seeds. It was filled with seeds. And even as a young Christian, you don't have to be an old person to be a farmer. You don't have to be old to plant something in the ground and reap a crop from it. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you have an education or not. Well, praise God. It doesn't matter if you got a position in the church or not. It doesn't matter if you've got a good job or not, a nice home or not. When you got the Holy Ghost and you were baptized in His name, There was a bag of seed, and if all you knew was Acts 2:38, your bag was full of Acts 2:38. Amen. And the Lord gave you that seed, amen, that word of God, so that you could take it and share it with somebody else. Amen. And too often we begin, I like what Garrett said this morning, amen, it's not enough just to receive something, but bless your heart, we've got to do something. Praise God, we've got to do something with what we have. Amen. What do I want to say tonight? You can just explain it away. That's what I want to say. You can explain it away and say, well, I'm not good at it. Hey, listen, I'm telling you what, there's no excuse tonight. We all have a bag of seed. Amen. A bag of spiritual seed. And the Lord wants us to begin to cast out the seed and to share the Word of God with anybody that we can get a hold of. Amen. Praise God. It doesn't matter if they are poor. It doesn't matter if they're rich. It doesn't matter where they are in between. But God has a plan. Amen. God has a will. It is not His will that any should perish. And so the people you go to school with, they'll perish if they don't have the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Your neighbors will perish if they don't have the Word of God. Glory to God. Amen. I've talked to my neighbors, and one of them said, well, my pastor is a television preacher. Amen. I was privileged to pray with his wife before she passed away. I believe it was cancer. And he had his faith in his pastor. But I'm telling you tonight, friend, I did not want them to go to an eternity without God. And as she lay there on the bed about to die, she said, Greg, she said, am I ready to go? And I forget her name now. It's been so many years. I said, you must repent. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. And you must have the Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, well, that's cruel. No, it's not cruel. Amen. It's cruel to let somebody go to the fire without warning them at least that there is a fire to avoid. Praise God. And I'm not doing it because of constraint tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this truth. I'm excited about the Word of God. I'm excited about living for God and doing the will of God. Yes, there's ups and downs. Yes, there are winters to go through when there's not going to be any crops. Yes, there's going to be a springtime when you must prune and work the ground. But I'm telling you, through all of the seasons, we are like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and we are going to bring forth our fruit in its season. You say, well, I'm bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. Thank God for that. But I'm telling you what, that's not the only fruit that God wants us to produce. He wants us to produce souls. Praise God. He has called everybody here tonight to be a soul winner. And to be a soul winner because you love being a soul winner. I wished I could jump up and down and shout and run around tonight. But I'm not physically able to right now. But if God will heal me, I'll do it. Praise God. Out of joy and gladness. Amen. I pray because I want to get close to God. I give because I want to please God. I'm faithful because I want to please Him and I love Him. And I don't want to hurt Him by my lifestyle. Well, praise God. Praise God. I'm a prisoner, but I'm in a prison where the door is constantly open. And you've got to have this kind of element in your relationships. Praise God. In this world, we have broken relationships. But with the Lord, it's for eternity. It's an eternal relationship. And it is a relationship of love. Praise God. My God tonight is not standing over me with a billy club ready to knock my head off. He's not looking for a reason to send me to hell. I mentioned this morning when I was teaching that I nearly got into, it wasn't a conflict, but a debate. And I was talking with someone, I won't even mention who it was, it doesn't matter, but they're not of our persuasion, and they bow down to statues and worship that, and I'm not going to go any further than that. But the subject of purgatory came up, and purgatory supposedly to them is a place in the middle where you can go and suffer and become perfect. Oh, you know where the fire is that makes us perfect? It's the trials of this life. That we are purified like fine gold when we get ourselves into trouble and we have to make it right. Amen. We have to go to God and repent and get things right in our hearts. Amen. And I looked at him and I said, well, I don't, he went through this long explanation of why he believed that. And when he stopped with his explanation, I just looked at him and I said, I don't believe that. Praise God. And I don't believe that because of this, that, or the other. He said, well, if you're bad in life, we all try, but none of us can do it. And they've resigned themselves to be a servant just a servant of sin. But somewhere down the road in purgatory, they are to pay for their own sins. And I looked at him and I said, I cannot pay for my sins. My sin can only be paid for by Calvary, where Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. And when I got baptized in his name, when I got the Holy Ghost, I became the righteousness of God. I'm still living in a body of flesh, and I'm going to wrestle with this flesh, and you're going to wrestle with your flesh. But don't ever give up, my friend, because God has not called you to destruction. He has called you to victory. I'm a prisoner tonight. Amen. Everything I have has come from him, and everything I do is because of him. Well, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can fully trust your life and put it in the hands of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to be a conference speaker here tonight, but you just hang on. Praise God. Praise God. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal. Everybody said steal. And to kill. Everybody said kill. And to destroy. There's three ands there. Two ands and three things. And to destroy. Amen. That's what the thief does. Who is the thief? The thief is the devil. The thief is the world. The thief is your flesh. The thief, amen, is sin. The power of sin is the law, and the penalty of sin is death. And the thief cometh not, and he doesn't come for any other reason. Don't worry about that. Don't even think about that. When he puts on a big smile, when she flits her eyes at you, when he smiles at you and says, honey, you're so beautiful. Praise God. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's only got three things on his mind. Amen. It is the lust of the devil. Amen. To control and to rule and to dominate and to be the one in charge. Amen. He wants to rule humanity. He wants to sit above God's throne and be on a place of authority and power. Amen. That's his only motivation. And that's why I know tonight, or I feel like anyway, that there are times in hell where the devils fight against each other. Because they've all got the same attitude. It's kind of like being among a group of thieves. And I've never been amongst a group of thieves, but they tell me that thieves do not trust each other. And I wonder why. Amen. We're good buddies. We're thieves together. We're as thick as thieves. Amen. And I don't want to be as thick as thieves with anybody, because a thief comes to steal, and he'll steal for himself. He's not willing or really wanting to share any of his booty with anybody. Amen. He wants it all for himself. And once you help him and you get the job done, then he turns and, you know, shoots you in the back. That's what the thief does. Amen. He said, but I am come. I am come. Praise God. Jesus said, I am come. Here's my motive for coming. That they, look at the difference. The thief comes to steal. He comes to get it for himself. He comes to destroy so that nobody else can get it. Amen. He comes to kill. Amen. He comes for those reasons, and they are selfish and self-centered reasons. But if you if you want to get hooked up with someone where you can have a relationship that is lifelong, get a hold of somebody that isn't looking to get something, but somebody that will give. Amen. I am come that they might have life. And there is no relationship in this world that is perfect. There is no relationship where you're going to get everything out of it that you want. But I'm telling you what, there is one relationship. There is one and only one. He said, I am come. He didn't say, we have come. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That means superabundant, over and above what you need. Praise God. That's our God that we serve tonight. Can you say thank God? Thank God. He goes on and he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Why does he do that? And actually, that was a situation in that day. The shepherd would literally give his life for his sheep. He would sleep outside with his sheep. He would lead his sheep. And when I read that, I read a book one time about the shepherd and the sheep in the eastern part of the world, and it kind of turned me off just a little bit, because I thought, who in the world wants to waste their time from some old, dirty, smelly sheep? Who would want to do that? I mean, they're nice looking. I've got a wool coat that I wore this morning. Thank God for sheep. And that's where the wool coat came from, was somebody's sheep. Amen. But I'm not really sure that I would want to give my life for an old, dirty sheep that can't protect itself, that is so easily killed, that digs a hole in the ground to sit down in, and sometimes gets things backwards and falls in upside down. And if you don't get it out of that position, its insides will reverse themselves, and they will literally die laying upside down. Who in the world would want to give all of their time, all of their attention, and who in their world would want to lay down their own blood so that those sheep could be blessed? In our mind, we would say, no way. In our mind, we would say, that's a waste of our time and our energy. Let's go do something better with our time and with our life. Oh, praise God. I'm glad that I'm not God tonight. I'm glad that He's God, because He came down to this old smelly sheep down here. Amen. And said, I'll lift you up and I'll bless you, and I will die for you. Praise God. You know why He did that? For God so loved the world. It was a relationship of love that God had and has in His heart. It doesn't matter who you are. Praise God. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. I saw today while we were waiting in the waiting room, I looked out the window and I saw something that looked a little bit funny. And I looked a little bit closer and there was a homeless man trying to get comfortable on the ground. And he had some sort of a foam, piece of square foam, and he had it wrapped around himself. No doubt he was cold. And I thought, he may have a knife or he may be dangerous or something along that line. And then the thought came to me, Jesus died for that man that's laying right there. And that's a very mild situation compared to what you can see in other places in our country, and even worse than that in places in the world. Amen. It doesn't matter, the gang leader, he came and died for the gang leader. He came and died for the thief. He came and died for that sheep that's always wanting to get outside the fence. Amen. He died for those that were good and those that were not good. Thank God today. I'm here because of love. I'm here today because somebody said, I will humble myself and I will put on a robe of humanity and I will go and die on a cross and I will feel the pain and the agony and the suffering of the passion of the cross, so that those dirty, smelly sheep can be saved. Amen. And he goes on, he says, I'm the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he doesn't own the sheep. Did you know that he owns us? Amen. Did you know that the Bible said he purchased us? He purchased us. The devil put us on the auction block and was willing to sell us for a pittance. But the master came along and he purchased us. And the price was his blood. Amen. He gives his life. But the hireling, in whose own the sheep or not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Praise God. This is a two-way relationship of love. This is a true relationship of love and trust. Amen. And when it comes down to it, when you have this kind of relationship, all the master has to do is say a word, and the sheep turn their head. When he calls them to dinner, they know they know his voice. They trust his voice. But a stranger they will not hear. I read another book about shepherds, and this man that had sheep, he had very good sheep. And he showed the neighbor's sheep and how poor they were and how they were sickly and all of that. And he went out to his sheep and he made a certain call. And when he made that call, all of his sheep came a-running. And when they got to him, they just put their paws up. They started talking and making all kinds of noises. They were so excited that their shepherd was there. The next time he took the young man out, he said, you remember the noise that I made? He said, yes. He said, I want you to make that noise. And I think it was something like, ooh, something like that. And so he said, really, you want me to imitate that? And so he tried, and the shepherd said, no, that was a little too low. Make it a little bit higher. And he tried, and he tried, and he tried. But all the sheep would do is lift up their head, look over there, and then put their head back down and start eating. They were not interested in another person calling them because they did not know his voice. Praise God. We can know the voice of God. Amen. When we are a prisoner of Jesus Christ, nobody else is going to come and talk to us but our great shepherd tonight. I know my sheep, and they know me. If you don't know him tonight, you can know him. It's inside the walls of the prison of love. Praise God. And the sheep will do whatever they are told to do because they love their master. They don't do it because they get beat if they don't do it. They'll run when they hear the voice of that kind of a shepherd. Amen. And if we truly love the Lord, I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes, but if we truly love him, we're going to become his servant. And as Paul said, a slave to Jesus Christ. At the same time, we're a slave and we're a friend. At the same time, we are a slave, but we are in love. Praise God, because love will enslave a man or enslave a woman to blessings. But lust will enslave someone to poverty and ruin. Amen. I love him tonight. Do you love him tonight? I love him tonight. Last scripture I want to read tonight is Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. Let's look at one of the laws in the Old Testament. It says, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, if one Hebrew buys another Hebrew, why would they do that? Probably to settle a debt. They had to. And so they became a servant because they felt the need, and they had a need. You know, when we come to God, a lot of times, and most of the time, we come to God because we have a need. Lord, I need to be saved. Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. Lord, I don't want to go to hell. And so we sell out to the Lord. But there's a difference here between the two servants. These are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. Praise God. Going to get set free. You know what? And I've said this before, but I guess it never really resonated until tonight. I've said this many times, that at the 7 year to 10 year period, I've noticed in pastoring over the years that every 7 years or every 10 years that we go through things and we have opportunities to leave God and temptations that come along every 7 to 10 years. I've said that many times. Some of you may remember me saying that. 6 years you're going to serve, and in the seventh year, he can go out free for nothing. Praise God. The door is open to this prison. The door is wide open. Anybody can leave anytime they want to leave this prison. And it says, if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. You know, it goes back to the scripture where Peter said, save yourself from this untoward generation. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. Somebody say that with me. I love my master. You're going to serve a master. I said, you're going to serve a master. I love my master. I say it plainly. No excuses, no reasons. After the last 6 years, I've really love my master now. It's not because I have a need to pay a debt off, but I love him. I'm not going to leave in the seventh year and go out and build up some more debt and get sold again. You know, some are like that. They come in and they go out. And when they fall into poverty, they come back and they give their life to God for a season. But then when it's time to go out free, they go back out and build that debt up again. But this servant said, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I will not go out free. I choose to stay as a slave. This is in the law in the Old Testament. You're going to get the opportunity. Thoughts are going to begin to come into your mind of backsliding. There will be someone at work that will tempt you. There will be situations that will arise financially. Everything that can come along usually does in the course of time. And this man said, I'm not going to go out free. I'm going to walk into this prison of my own accord. I'm walking through the open door. And I'm going to stay right here. And whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it because I love you. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. You probably know what an awl is. A-U-L. It's a sharp instrument. It is a pointed, like a spear, not a spear, but a piece of wire that's been sharpened on the end, and it's got a handle on it, and you can actually pierce the ear. Amen. And he will go up to the door of the house. I don't know for sure, but they say that those that pierce their ears, that mark is there for the rest of their life. I don't know if that's true or not. I love my master. I'm willing to get my ear pierced all the way through to the door of his house, and I shall live here. And the Bible says he shall serve him forever. Can we stand together tonight? This love, this kind of love, is connected thoroughly, because over the years there have been some connections that have been made. And sometimes those connections come. They come when we go to our conferences. Sometimes those connections come, amen, when we're in a good place of prayer and the Spirit of the Lord comes down and touches you. Amen. You become connected, amen, when trials and tribulations come and you find yourself on the other side of victory. Praise the Lord. Those connections come through difficult times and through good times. We make connection. I connect. He's the one I need to go to. Praise God. He's the one I need to come to. Amen. He came in single and now has married in his father's house. What a memory. Who would want to walk away from that? But some do want to walk away from that. The memories, the good memories, the memories of being married in my father's house, in my master's house. Every day I get up and go to work. If the master says I need my house swept today, as you're sweeping along, you look at that spot where you got married in his house and say, these are good memories. I'm in a good place. I'm in a good place. You can walk around in your father's house and say, it was right here at this spot that God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I've been married. I got married right there at the altar. And great things and good things happened. And over the course of my life, over the course of time, these things made connections with me. I'm connected. I'm connected to Jesus Christ. I'm connected because when I was on my deathbed, he raised me up. I can connect, Amen. I can connect when I'm at a certain intersection in Wichita, that it was right there that I almost passed from this life to the next life. But it serves to remind me of God's grace and God's goodness and mercy. And I'm still here, praise God. And I'm still preaching the good word of the Lord. Maybe not with the vigor and the vitality of years gone by, but I'm telling you what, there are some connections that have been made. And when troubles come, my first thought is, I've got to get back to my Father's house. I've got to go to the church and spend some time in prayer. Well, praise the Lord. It makes me think of Brother Rex Johnson, whose wife and little boy was killed in an automobile accident. And as they went through an intersection, a car crashed into them, and their car exploded into flames, and his wife and his boy was killed, burned to death right there in the intersection. His daughter survived the ordeal, and when he got the news, he was so stunned. He was so set back. But he said, the very first thing that came into my mind is, I've got to get to the church. I've got to get to the church. And he went to the church and he began to pray. And he didn't get an answer right then. And he went back and prayed some more. And he said, God, why? God, why? And he said, all the Lord said to him was, my grace is sufficient for you. Put my ear up to the door, Lord. Pierce it through. I want to be stuck to this door. I want to know where to come in and to go out and where I've made my commitments. Jesus said, I am the door. Praise God. And we can be marked for life. We're marked here tonight. We're children of the Most High God. Amen. And when you're going through the good times, going through the bad times, and everything in between, if you can just experience that grace of God over and over and over again, there will be a strong bond and a strong connection. And you can say, I'm going in. I'm going to walk through the door of the prison, and I'm going to give my life to you, God, one more time. I could cut and run. While I'm out in the field, I could cut and run and nobody would ever find me again. I could leave my wife and my children behind and I could be a free man and nobody could stop me. Oh, yes, that's where we're living today. But I choose to walk back in the door and spend some time with my wife and my children and to please my master because I love him. Can we just lift our hands right now and let's talk to God together? Come on, let's talk to the Lord together tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love your work. I love your kingdom. I love your people. I thank you tonight for the rich blessings that you poured out in my life. I thank you for all of the messages that have changed my life. I thank you, Lord, for my pastors that have helped to shape me and to mold me into what I am today. I thank you for the Word of God that has given me revelation and truth. I thank you for all of the blessings tonight. Amen. In Jesus' name.